The United Nations Security Council has been holding a late-night meeting in New York to agree a statement on the situation in Gaza. All 15 council members support the statement, which urges Israel and Hamas to implement a durable ceasefire. Shortly, we'll have more on those diplomatic efforts to put an end to the violence. First, though, there were separate events in Dublin yesterday in support of both Israel and the people of Gaza. A book of condolence was opened at the Mission of Palestine in Black Rock in County Dublin, while others gathered at the Israeli embassy in Bulls Bridge to express solidarity with people in Israel. Morning Ireland's Louise Byrne spoke to participants at both events.
For me, as a Jew living in Ireland, I think it is amazing to see so many people today. I just had enough of watching the sympathy, the biased news. It doesn't give the Israeli side. Israel has been begging the Palestinian people to move away because they want the ammunition. They don't want the civilians. Hamas are telling their Palestinian people, if you move away, we will remember you later. So what are those poor Palestinian people supposed to do? My heart goes out to them.
My name is Barry Williams. I run an organisation called Irish for Israel. There's a lot of political jumping on the bandwagon when it comes to Israel here. It's the trendy cause. We don't see that sort of moral outrage when it comes to Syria or Iraq. Like, we keep hearing, a minimal amount of Israeli civilians have died. Israel shouldn't have to apologise for protecting its civilians. Hamas has invested millions in cement into the tunnels. None of that, all of that money could have been used to build shelters, sirens, schools, hospitals. Gaza could technically be the Dubai of the Mediterranean if Hamas wanted it to.
My name is Olivia McGrail. I'm from County Mayo, and I've visited Israel a few number of times. I've also visited Palestine, and we believe that Israel has a right to defend itself, and I believe that the Irish people need to hear the other side of the story. There are Israeli children that are suffering as well, and that story is not being told. I have not seen one picture on Irish TV or Irish newspapers where I saw an Israeli child suffering. If Wales was firing in bombs to Ireland or firing in rockets to Ireland, I would expect the Irish government to fight on our behalf, and I would expect them to defend us.
So I'm Frieda Hughes, I'm the spokesperson for the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Campaign. At 2 o'clock we opened the book of condolences, and we already had a queue of people waiting to sign outside at that stage. We're inviting people to, I suppose, leave their message of solidarity and condolence, but also if they want to leave tribute, so lots of people have left bunches of flowers. Protest and demonstration doesn't suit everybody, so this allows those people to show their solidarity in a quite a dignified manner as well.
My name is Serene Deeb, and the last time I was in Gaza was nearly 30 years ago when I was 9. There's a lot of extended family there who I haven't seen in over 10 years. The Gaza Strip is the size of the greater Dublin area. There's 1.8 million people living there. They are blockaded. They cannot leave. There is no airport. They cannot leave by sea because the Israelis are controlling the sea. The Israelis are controlling the borders. There is nowhere for them to go. Like, Israel are saying they're the most moral army in the world. Who else texts people before they bomb them? Terrorists text people before they bomb them.
I suppose I'm here to show the people of Palestine that we see what's going on over in Palestine, that we think it's unfair, we think it's unjust.
What do you think the Irish response has been?
I'm ashamed of the Irish government. I think I'm ashamed of Charlie Flanagan's response during this week not to sign. I wish that they would show some backbone and stand up for what they know to be right.
I am from Gaza. I'm Palestinian. This siege is totally stripping people from their liberty, from their freedom of movement, from their livelihood. And every now and then Israel goes and bombs the hell out of them. Hamas is few Palestinian people in Gaza that refuse to lie down and die. Don't believe the lies. Hamas is not hiding behind civilians. Hamas is not using children for human shields. That's baloney.
People at the Mission of Palestine in Dublin, ending that report from Louise Byrne. Well, for analysis of the attempts to bring a halt to the violence in Gaza and indeed to achieve a more lasting solution to the crisis there, we're joined now by Daniel Levy. He's a former advisor to the Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak, and he now works for the European Council for Foreign Relations. Good morning.
Morning, Rachel.
What's your assessment of the latest attempts to achieve a ceasefire? We've had this statement overnight from the UN Security Council meeting in New York.
We've had that statement. Of course, it's not a resolution. The US government is always very cautious about how far it will allow the UN to engage in this conflict, because the Israeli government doesn't want that. But alongside this UN presidential statement, which means it was unanimously adopted by the Security Council. We've also had a phone call between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu, in which he was very clear that this needs to come to an end. This has been after a weekend of intense diplomatic activity. The problem here is that when an American president says to an Israeli prime minister, you have to do X, you know, normally when you use that kind of a tone in life, you say, or else Y is going to happen to you. And the problem with the Americans, because of their politics, is there tends to be no threat after that, and others tend not to fill that gap and really push and use leverage with Israel to get this finished. Where it means we are is that I think that the actual fighting on the ground is in something of a lull. And I do think that we are, and I hope this is the case, beginning to see the end of this. It would have been better to have had an agreed ceasefire with also an agreement that would allow Gaza some kind of normality, some kind of access to the world that would end the blockade, because without that, this is going to happen again. We don't have that, but it appears that both sides unilaterally are going to pull back now, and we're seeing the terrible extent of the devastation. Of course, rockets on Israel are unacceptable, but the response has been disproportional. 1,000+ Palestinian dead, 75% of those, according to the UN, civilians. So, you know, this really has to come to an end.
Can I ask you about that bigger picture, which you touched upon there? Are there any serious attempts being made to tackle Gaza's underlying problems?
You know, I wish I could tell you that the answer is yes, but the problem here is that Gaza, of course, is bordered on one side by Israel, and Israel has been punishing collectively the civilian Gazan population. On the other side, you have Egypt, and unlike in the past, you now have an Egyptian leadership led by President Sisi that sees Hamas as part of its own internal domestic political struggle. The Muslim Brotherhood elected government was deposed. One can have issues with them or not, but they were deposed. The new president sees Hamas and his struggle with Hamas as an extension of that, and therefore Egypt is not offering a way out for the Gazans. The only other route out for Gaza is via sea and air, of course, but Israel blockades those. So if you're going to seriously deal with the Gaza issue, you have to do one or both of two things. One is to say, look, we can do airlifts into Gaza. We can bring things in by sea into Gaza. If Israel wants to check what's being brought in on the coast of Cyprus or out at sea, if Egypt wants to check, that's fine. But as an international community, we have experience in breaking blockades, and that's what we're going to do here. The other thing you have to consider is how to protect the Gazan population. I think it's absolutely illegitimate to call on Gaza, to call on Hamas to disarm, if you do not at the same time offer protection to the Gazan people, which would be some kind of international force, and that could be extended to the West Bank as well. But there is an excess of deference here to an Israeli government that I'm afraid is not only being irresponsible and illegal in its actions, but that I would also argue is not doing Israel any good, because Israelis will not live at peace until the Palestinians experience some freedom and an end to the occupation. And that is not being addressed.
How much support, though, is there within Israel for the offensive against Gaza? Because from what we've seen, that support still seems to be there.
You're right, Rachel. And you know, here I'd say that it's not so difficult to understand that when you're in a situation that you are under rocket fire, you know, thankfully, it's a civilian death count of 3 on the Israeli side, not more. I mean, obviously, it's not good that there are any civilian deaths. But under that situation where there is rocket fire, where your political leadership is whipping you up into a frenzy over the threat of tunnels, it's difficult not to empathize with the fact that Israelis want this to end, and therefore there is support for this operation. However, what there is a failure of here is a failure to step back, look at the bigger picture, and say, obviously, we're not going to end this unless alongside anything we do militarily, there has to be something political. And the tragedy of the last few months is that the Palestinian leadership in the West Bank, which has recognized Israel, negotiated and ended any armed resistance, which cooperates day to day on security with Israel, they have tried to push for a political solution. What they have been met with on the Israeli side is more settlements, more closures, and an absolutely unreasonable position. Therefore, tragically, the lesson the Israelis are sending to the Palestinians is peaceful negotiations don't work, and therefore you see more people resorting to armed resistance.
Daniel Levy of the European Council for Foreign Relations, thank you very much for talking to us on the programme.